Go live, and I usually fumble about as it goes live. And hello everybody, and it's me again, and I am going to be doing an interview with another super amazing, awesome high performance coach. His name is James Koski, and you'll be seeing him in just a second. Now James is going to be sharing with us something that I think everyone needs to know, and that is how to experience growth in the eye of a storm. You may have noticed that there is the dumpster fire that I call 2020 that has knocked us out at the knees in various and sundry different ways. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have had a reduction in income. Regardless, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And for a lot of people, that has resulted in them actually pulling back and not playing the game that they normally play. So they're playing a much, much smaller game. They're doing the wait and see kind of a thing. And as most of us know, that's a rather dangerous way to operate for too long. And we don't know how long the effects of the pandemic are going to reverberate. So if you've been holding back, if you've been in that wait and see mode, I am really excited to share James's thoughts. Well, I'm not sharing them. He will. On how we can actually overcome some of these challenges. So welcome, James, and thank you for taking the time for being with me and my listeners today.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me on, and I'm really excited to talk today. Thanks.
I know. We always like to talk. You and I can talk forever. Absolutely. So James, tell me, there's as a high-performance coach, obviously you can come at what you share and topics like this for interviews in so many different ways. Why did you choose growth in the eye of the storm as the topic, not only for what we're talking about today, but also the one you're going to be sharing at the Take Charge Challenge, which is taking place September 29th to October 1st. Please tell us where the inspiration comes from.
Absolutely. Well, like so many things in our life, it was born out of serendipity, just happened. And I don't want to say right place, right time, but it was just my set of circumstances that put me in a position to think of things a little bit differently as we moved into March and into April and into May. And the thing was, is that prior to March, February 20th, I had elective total knee replacement surgery. So I had been preparing for months to be in my own quarantine, and I was ready for it psychologically. Mm-hmm. And what that did is put me in position to, once we were in this lockdown and in this situation where all of this stuff was happening and all of this uncertainty was occurring, it put me into a position to put things in a proper perspective. And I like to refer to this one book. I've only had this book on audiobook, and I just got it. It's right over there in my envelope, just came in the mail.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This one.
Yes.
I love this book. It sits right there for a reason. Yeah. I feel like I'm like the last person in the world to read this book. I love it. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's my books behind me, and I'm always spinning around to get them. And I've got books over here. And Man's Search for Meaning was one that I listened to several years ago. And if anybody can put it into perspective, it's someone who is a Holocaust survivor who lived to tell about it. And the perspective that you take from anything, no matter who you are or where you're at, is that things can always be worse. And if in fact you're in the worst possible situation that has ever occurred to any human being, well, guess what? You are lined up to be the greatest comeback story in history, right? So that's and that's a perspective, right? And so so I was prepared. I was oddly calm through the early part and the middle part of the pandemic and the lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I found that it was an incredibly creative period for me in a way that was like, wow, I'm getting a lot of stuff done. I'm laid up. I'm on opioids because of the pain, but I'm still really crushing it. And as I had a bit of an epiphany, and I said, I'm going to call a bunch of my colleagues. And you'll never guess who the first person I called that Sunday afternoon was.
Oprah Winfrey. No.
I called you because I knew you would be in.
Close.
You would be you would be in to do this webinar that we did in, I think it was late March, early April kind of thing. Yeah. And that was a huge success. And then we built this great level of momentum. We had this awesome team together. So let's do something different. And that's where the Take Charge Challenge came from. And we've been working together on this for several months, and it hasn't been work. It's been fun. It's just been great, lively, incredible experience that we've had together. So it was the preparation that I did prior to my surgery that put me in a position to say, hey, wait a minute, I was well prepared for this. And so you too can be well prepared for anything that happens. The thing is that you have to think about things a little bit more. So
can I ask you a question? I have a question about that, because, you know, I totally agree with you that, you know, planning and preparation are definitely, you know, some of the characteristics of the elite performers in the world, people who are truly successful and maintain that level of success. How do you plan for a black swan event like a pandemic? You know, sure, there were movies and people had talked about it. You know, you hear about, you know, Bill Gates having these having done these presentations years and years before about, you know, something like this potentially showing up, and yet, you know, we don't know what to do. So I think where people can kind of get stuck is like, they want to plan and prepare, but prepare for what? So can we do planning and preparing when we don't really know what we're planning and preparing for, per se?
Yeah. You know, there's the practical side of things. You know, people can prepare for worst case scenarios the same way that they did in the 50s by putting a bomb shelter in the backyard, or buying 3 months of freeze-dried food to store away. But and so those are practical things that each individual has to decide what their own level of comfort is and secure. And it's all about safety and security. And safety and security, a lot of times, is physical, but most times it's psychological. And so psychological preparation is a whole other thing. And it's thinking about worst case scenarios, of course, but preparation leverages perspective rather significantly, because when you apply perspective as you're preparing for those worst case scenarios, you can think about where you are in your life. And and sometimes what it does is it gets us off our butts to actually do something now that will help us now as well as help us in the future. It's this concept called performance necessity, where from an internal perspective, you're obsessing about it, or it's part of your identity, or from an external perspective, you know, you've got a legacy that you want to leave, or you have deadlines. You know, those are kind of more nuts and bolts types of things, but to prepare for kind of this worst case scenario, you can think about things, put your life in a proper perspective, and to say, you know what, I'm a little bit too comfortable right now, and I think I there's more to what I can get out of life. And so then you start to build upon it. You might be one of those people that are crushing it every day already, and you've got great family and great friends, and a lot of us are very lucky to have that. And every one of us needs more of that. Mm-hmm. And so part of the preparation really is to start thinking about building your network, meeting more people, building your skill sets. All of those things aren't necessarily directed at a particular black swan event, because you can't really predict what that black swan event is going to be. Right. I mean, you can watch every episode of, you know, the latest, you know, zombie TV series, because it seems like every zombie TV series, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, you know, they all have
zombies. Zombies are scary. I don't want zombies.
Don't want zombies.
No.
And, zombies. But, you know, if the zombie apocalypse were to come, you know, putting things into perspective would be really valuable. But the preparation part is also about personal growth and development. You know, it was Earl Nightingale that, when he came out with his seminal recording back in the 1950s called The Strangest Secret, it was he who echoed eons of thought that can be traced back to ancient religion and ancient philosophers, that when you think about things, when you think about your own personal growth and development, you know, you really, you know, that's and you think about it consistently, that's when you're able to really move the ball forward and actually accomplish some things. And it was M. Scott Peck in his book, The Road Less Traveled, that defined love as the focused effort towards the object of your love, towards that object's spiritual growth and development. Mm-hmm. So if you love somebody, you know, you want them to grow spiritually. If you love yourself, you want yourself to grow and develop spiritually. So all of this ties together in this one big concept of preparation and perspective that kind of interweave one another. And it's like this, it's like a circle. It's like the confidence competence loop. Same thing. Yep. They both feed on each other.
And yeah, then we talked about that. It's interesting because Sean and I talked about, because we talked about confidence earlier this week, and that confidence competence loop that kind of comes along. Yeah. So here's a question for you, because I really love the idea of setting your eyes on something, whether it's yourself, like self-love or a goal you've set for yourself. But there's a lot of people who have been really beaten down, and there's a lot of cynicism. There's a lot of mistrust, not only of sort of what's going on around them, but even of themselves. Cause like I got fired 3 times when I worked for corporate Canada. You really take a hitting to your ego when that happens. You're like, you think there's something wrong with you. So how do you, for those who have been really hardest hit by the pandemic and sort of the aftermath or the ripple effects of what's happening, whether they're the spouse of someone who lost a job, or they actually the ones who lost their job or got pulled back or whatever, there's a whole host of repercussions that people are feeling. So they're really, really down. So if you can imagine, you know, someone's really down and they're like, I don't see my way out of this. What advice can you give to them to kind of pull themselves around? Because to change your perspective sounds great, but how do you actually do that?
Such a good question. And, you know, it ties back to the idea of courage. And one way to define courage is overcoming fear of pain, fear of the pain of loss, fear of the pain of the process that it takes to get something done, fear of the pain of what the outcome might be, you know, and one of the seminal things, that easiest things that we can do to get out of that rut is to be vulnerable. I know people feel so vulnerable, feel so beat up now. Mm-hmm. And when you're at your worst, when you're at your nadir, when you're at that bottom of the pit, yeah, you feel really beat up. But that's precisely the time that you've got to reach out to people and be vulnerable. And first of all, you can talk to people and say, yeah, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. And just conversations and connection, even though it's hard to connect with people in this time, we do have tools. We can connect with people. We can't get the hugs that we need, maybe, but we can connect with them. And so having conversations with as many people as possible. If you're looking for a new job, you know, I tell my clients that are looking for new jobs, you know, how many quality conversations are you having today? How many people are you talking to today? Just to talk to them and to let the opportunity develop on how they might be able to help you. And then what are you saying to them in terms of what you want to try to accomplish? Are you, one of the most courageous acts is to allow yourself to be vulnerable and to put out there into the world what it is that you're trying to achieve. And it could be the huge, massive dream, or it could be just, you know, I got to get myself up off the floor. I don't know how to get myself up off the floor. I'm confused. I'm dazed. Mm-hmm. I've been beaten up. And it's in those times that, you know, that it now becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You start to start to devolve, because you just can't generate any traction. And that, you know, it's at those times when we need to reach out and connect, and not only connect with people that we know, but every person that you talk to, right? Every quality person that you want to have on your A team. Mm-hmm. You want your squad. You ask them, who can you introduce me to, right?
So it's a matter. Well, what I'm going to share, I'm sort of summarizing what you're saying. If you're really down, you're not too sure where to go, you kind of exhausted your own personal resources, this is where you sort of stand on the shoulder of giants, right? Other people who mm-hmm. may be able to, and you're not, maybe not sure how they can help, but you just sort of, you put it out there that, you know, you're looking for people to, you know, help you get back on track. And I know I was talking to one guy, and he's this great guy, you know, he's a firefighter and he's a real estate agent and he's got kids and I know, does everything himself, will not ask for help, or he wouldn't until we solve this problem. But it was interesting, you know, because we were sort of pulling apart, like, what is it about asking for help that kind of makes him kind of hold back and make him feel bad? And his answer was that by asking for help, somehow he feels he's deficient, right? As opposed to, you know, because I've been studying high performance and as you have as well, the most successful people know what they want. And if they're not sure what they, even if they do know what they want, or even if they don't know what they want, they go and they ask, right? They ask around. One of my favorite stories from Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill was the story of Henry Ford, how very successful guy, but he really accelerated his innovations and the impact that he had on the world at large with the way he was operating his company was when he started hanging out with Thomas Edison. Now, think what you want about Mr. Edison. Every time I say this thing about Edison, everyone's like, you know what he did. Yes, totally aware. However, he was an inventor. Yes, he was a stealer of patents or whatever anyone else thinks about him. But the point is, two intelligent individuals get together, share ideas, work with each other, makes more ideas, and then they each went their separate ways and did their thing, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing may be. And I think that's more along the line of what you're talking about and what Napoleon Hill called it in Think and Grow Rich, is that's what a mastermind actually is. Now, the word mastermind gets kind of bastardized all over the place and used in different ways when it's really, that's a conference, not a mastermind. But a mastermind is just creating people around you, and in his book, Alive or Dead, that you would say, like, what would they think? What would they do in this kind of a situation? And you externalize some of your confusion and you bring in some feedback from other people. So, and I think you're right. I think what people, even the ones that have been really downtrodden, need to remember is that you must consider these opinions, because talking to people will be fine. But if you're not going to consider their opinion or take their advice or kind of work with the opportunities that they may present to you, even though they might not be perfect, the fact is, like, you got to do something. So being open to that also has got to be part of the equation, right?
It's absolutely true. And there's the flip side of the coin. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'll leave you with this, because I think that this is equally important, if not more important. And that is that we find our highest selves in service to others. And so that in and of itself, to find someone who you can serve when you are, you know, at that lowest point, if you mm-hmm. can find an opportunity to help someone else, you know, who's suffering other problems that, you know, that you might not be aware of, or you mm-hmm. might not be familiar with yourself, that raises you up. If you can generate joy in your life by recounting the best memories of your life, going through your photos, if you can generate joy by just three people a day, reaching out to them and telling them how much you appreciate them. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the types of little things that we can do that can be a spark. And the other thing is just to keep perspective. This too shall pass. We shall get through this, and better days are ahead. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to embrace the suck. Sometimes you just got to honor the struggle. And that in and of itself is living.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know what, James, I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts here today. For those of you who are just patching in now, James will be one of the 12 coaches that you can access through the Take Charge Challenge. It's $47 to get access to all of this, these amazing coaches. But at $147, you can get all the recordings plus at least 6 books, all authored by some of the most amazing people I certainly have ever come across. So again, thank you, James. Is there any one last sort of thought you want to leave my listeners with before we patch you up for the day?
With regards to the Take Charge Challenge, I just want to say that this is an incredible group of people that have come together. They're all wonderful giving souls. The amount of value that is in this program is astounding for what the price is. And one of the reasons that we're able to offer this is the sense of service that mm-hmm. all of these people have towards their communities and towards the world at large. And you, my dear Rebecca, exemplify that in spades in your support of us and your support of the world around you. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Well, thank you, James. You know, I'm also one of your biggest fans too. Well, thank you, James. And thank you for those who have been listening with me on this Friday afternoon or whenever you're listening to this video. Again, a Take Charge Challenge, just click on the button below. You'll be able to go there, check out all of the speakers, all of the topics, and hopefully you guys will join us for September 29th through October the 1st. It's an online event. Everyone's invited. And I look forward to seeing you, James, and everyone else there too. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. Have a great weekend.
No, I plan to.